Today on Real Radio.
Jesus drops a bomb on their ears and he says, I'm the true vine. In fact, he says, I am. Ego emi, true vine. Ego emi. Mark it if you're a student of the Bible. It's number 7, the final one. The last I am statement of John's gospel. It's another declaration of deity. It's the title of God. Ego emi. I am. That is, I am the eternal self-existing one. I have no beginning. I have no end. I am it. The true vine.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher answers a question that is really quite controversial, especially to one who is not really sure of the answer. Who is a Christian is the title of our study, which looks into the first 8 verses of John chapter 15. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
This discourse began, as you remember, Jesus gathers together his disciples in the upper room. And you know now well the things that transpired there, the great teachings of the coming of the Holy Spirit, the revelation of Jesus telling the disciples that there'd be one at the table that would betray them, speaking of Judas Iscariot. But then Jesus turns, remember, and says to Peter, before this night's over, Peter, you will deny me thrice, 3 times. A very solemn gathering. Jesus ends that teaching with the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit into the life of the believer. And then in John 14, 31, it says there that Jesus states to them, come, let us arise. Let's go from here. And they get up out of the upper room, which was located, for those of you who have been to Jerusalem, was located on the western side of town. They would have gotten out of that room, gone downstairs, and now begin to head westward. West means you go down the slope toward the Kidron Valley. Just to your left, that is looking north, there are the great steps that enter into the Temple Mount area. If you continue on, as Jesus would have, you would come to the old city of David. Make a left-hand turn, go up the eastern side of the eastern wall where the great eastern gate is at, the Golden Gate. The gate that the pictures are taken of mostly that you see of Jerusalem, where the Dome of the Rock is, and that gate that is stoned or blocked up, that's the eastern gate. They would have gone up that area, walking through vineyards right there. And there are many vineyards there now still, today. Then crossing the Kidron Valley, heading now west again and up to the Gethsemane Garden. Doesn't that sound like a long trek? Not at all. It's probably 3/4 of a mile long. Jerusalem's very compact together. And now they're walking and Jesus is teaching. You know, he's a great teacher. He always takes the things that are nearby and makes a message out of it. So what's he going to teach on? What's he going to talk on? He's going to talk on vineyards and vine dressers and branches. He's going to talk about fruit bearing and what it means in the life of a believer. And so as we get ready to go into our study this morning, I need you to really consider the title of the message today, and that is this. It's really a question, and it is, who is a real Christian? Who is a real Christian? What does that mean? Because you and I have all been frustrated by people who say they're Christians. I had somebody come up to me last night and say, hey, can you spare some money? I'm a born-again Christian. I just got in here from Idaho or somewhere. Now, what's interesting about that is that same guy asked me for money about 5 weeks ago. But I think what he learned was if you ask or if you tell people that you're a Christian, they might cough up some money. I know he didn't just get in from Idaho. I've seen him on the streets before. And what does that do? First of all, what does that do to a Christian statement or a Christian witness? Immediately, what came to my mind was, the Lord's righteous, his own children shall never be seen begging bread. Why? What kind of a parent is God if his own children have to beg bread? Who needs him if you have to beg bread? But for some people, they use the name of Jesus to get by in life. Or for some people, maybe they use the name of Jesus to appease and comfort a religious ritual or act. I don't know. It's honestly not for me to judge. I'm not going to, wouldn't want to. It's not my place. But you know who is to judge? You. You and I are to judge ourselves. Did you know that? The Bible says that we are to examine ourselves, judge ourselves to determine whether we are in the faith. Have you ever heard that verse before? It's in the Bible, you know. It's very serious. Paul says, examine, judge, test, assay. You know what an assayer does? An assayer takes acid and pours it on what you're claiming to possess as gold. Hey, I just got a gold nugget here from Central California, found it in a river. What do you do with it? You take it down to the assayer's office. He pours acid on it, and the acid strips away all that which is false and only exposes the gold. And then the assayer says, you're right, it's gold. And he attaches to it a weight and a wealth. The assayer approves it. It's stamped, issued, inspected. In my life, I am to examine my life, and I am to conclude whether I'm in the faith or not. The life that I'm living, is it true or is it a joke? Am I pulling the wool, as it were, over your eyes, my family's eyes, or am I true? I'm not saying am I fault-free or sinless. I have faults. I have sins. But what is the central passion of my life? What is the central passion of your life? If we are not right with God, we don't want to hear and we don't want to answer that question. It makes us nervous. You start to move on your seat back and forth, you know, you kind of go like this. And during the course of the message, you'll get more agitated, more irritated, and you'll be going more and more until you sound like a little train sitting there. Why? You're getting convicted. I've been there before. It was 23 and a half years ago. I've been there when the Spirit's going, you. And you want to jump up and go, why me? Why me? Because he loves you. Because God wants you to know him. He wants you to be in his vine. He wants you to be a branch of his. And so Jesus now is making sure on the just the last few hours of him being on earth with them, he wants to convey to them that they had better know where they're at. Man, I would do anything this morning to try to convince you that that's what I want for you. That you would absolutely know. For the Bible says these things. The Bible has been written that you might know this, that you are a child of God. Oh, it's so important. John 15, verses 1 through 8. You can follow along with me in your Bible. John 15, 1 through 8. Who is a real Christian? Who's a real Christian anyway? Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father, the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he, that is the Father, takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Consider three players in the story. and what he's teaching. If we were walking with Jesus on this night, we would want to stop if we could just pause it and begin to analyze what he's saying. Because whatever he's saying, it is of eternal value. There are those who will be in the true vine and those that are not in the true vine. There are those who will prosper in their Christian experience and those that will not. What is he saying? Where would you and I be back then? So look with me in verse 1. He says here, I am the true vine, my Father the vine dresser, and the beginning of verse 2, every branch. Can you circle those things? Every branch, vine dresser, true vine. Three things in the factor. The branch, that's you. The vine dresser is the Father. The Father, the vine dresser, that's the owner operator of the vineyard. Or put it this way, God owns the world, the vineyard, so to speak. Okay, and the true vine, this is a radical statement Jesus is making. He just doesn't say, I'm the vine, because he's talking to a bunch of Jewish boys. The Jewish nation, based upon Old Testament passages, believed that they were the true vine, the Jewish nation, Israel, that the world would get its fruit from them. Not fruit you eat, but spiritual fruits. And Israel was proud of that fact, of that truth. We're the vine, the true vine. Jesus, in the ears of these Jewish boys, these disciples, they grew up hearing that. Jesus turns to them and says, I'm the true vine. Stop right there. Remember, he's on the walk based upon verse 31 of the last chapter. They're walking. We know that he's in the proximity of the temple. The temple gates on the eastern side were created, designed, and shipped from Greece. They were installed there under Herod's direction, and they were beautiful. Josephus writes about them. They have gold leaf over the top of them, of a great vine with grapes hanging there. And by the way, on top of the temple, around the park, was also gold leaf around the top of a vine. But the Jews, rather than thinking that that was a symbol of Christ and the messianic coming of the Messiah, they took it to themselves and they said, we're the vine. Jesus drops a bomb on their ears and he says, I'm the true vine. In fact, he says, I am ego emi, true vine. Ego emi. Mark it if you're a student of the Bible. It's number 7, the final one. The last I am statement of John's gospel. It's another declaration of deity. It's the title of God, ego emi. I am. That is, I am the eternal self-existing one. I have no beginning, I have no end. I am it, the true vine. When he said the true vine, it excluded Israel, it excluded America. I hate to burst your bubble. It excluded everything but him. He's the true vine, player number 1. Number 2, the vine dresser, owner, operator of the world, God the Father. The vine dresser is a pretty amazing person. And they would have understood this back then. The vine dresser buys the land, he purchases it, then he fertilizes it, he tills it, he prepares it, he plants the vine, and that vine grows. It begins as a tender small plant. Does that ring a bell? Isaiah chapter 53 and 54, that he, the Messiah, shall grow up before the Lord as a tender shoot or plant. That's the reference to Jesus. He is the true vine. He came into the world, grew up, as it were, in the flesh, called Israel to come and believe in him. The Father sent the Son. The vine dresser sent the vine. See the connection? But what comes out of a vine as it begins to grow? Well, can I kind of push the analogy almost to the point of being ridiculous? It seems as though, as the vine dresser sent the little shoot that grew up into a vine, it seemed that like that at about 33 and a quarter years of age, that vine began to put out branches called the church. And those branches, that's us. It's very simple to understand this. This is what's kind of fun about it. What do branches do? Well, we've got what the true vine does. The true vine, it anchors itself to the earth and inside the earth. It brings up nutrients from below. It takes the sun and uses its process, even when it's leafless, to generate conversion power to put forth branches and then the branches put forth leaves, and the leaves and the branches put forth fruit. The branch, that's us. The true vine, Jesus, the vine dresser, an inseparable connection, isn't it? It is God's will in your life, God's will in my life, that we produce fruit. Here's the wonderful thing. The vine dresser does the purchasing, the vine does all the work, and the branch just hangs in there. You say, oh, no, no, no. The branch produces fruit. No, it doesn't, Ron. Wrong. The vine produces the fruit. If you know anything about herbiculture, horticulture, and I forget what they call those who do the wineries. It's vegia something. What?
Viticulture.
Okay, good. That word. It's what they do. And how we do it now, sad to say, in California and all, and I'm sure France and other parts, is much different than how it was back then. Back then, they did it by hand. They did everything by hand. They, with example, clean water, washed the vine and the branches and the fruit by hand. And they had certain techniques to promote growth. But the whole purpose of Jesus' teaching is that the disciples would know where they belong, to stay where they belong, and that they may produce fruit. And so we want to look at this together. It's very, very important. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser, and every branch. Look what he says in verse 2. In me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. I'm going to ask you to bring out your pen because it is going to get deep here in a moment. He takes away, mark that word, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. There's two things that he does. Who? The Father. In the vineyard, the vine produces the branches. The branches are to produce fruit. If A, they are producing fruit, guess what the Father does? He prunes those fruit-producing vines, or branches, I should say. He prunes them. If they don't produce fruit, what does he do? The English Bible says what? Takes them away or cuts them off. And here's the deal. I'm going to tell you right up front right now a little technical thing, and you're probably going to get bored by it, but it's so vitally important, I think. But it doesn't change the outcome. Number one, I read 17 commentaries on this verse. Why? Because there's a variation among biblical authorities on the meaning of it. Example A, let's look at it this way. One view. Do you hate when I give you multiple views? Some people just tell me what it is. I'm not going to do that. I'll give it to you. You decide. And this is one of those areas where it's open and up for you. And I think God made it this way for you to find out. Here's the deal. He says that every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. The word here, prune, or some of your Bibles say purge, the word means to cleanse, to cleanse. And the picture back then was as Jesus intended. The vine dresser would come and he would wash the grapes, wash the branch. And if a branch was seeming to be not productive or kind of waning along the way, he would wash it more because it would stimulate growth. That's amazing, huh? I never knew that. But he would do this by hand. In our modern day production world, what do we care? We plant so many vineyards, so many vines, and we run our machines through that we'll take whatever we get and dump the rest. When you have a little plot of ground and you're a vine dresser and you do it by hand, it's very important to you that your vineyard produce. So he prunes to cleanse or to not only wash, but to also cut back. More on that in a moment. It says here, too, that he cuts away or takes away. And here's where the interesting things happens. The word take away in the Greek means to remove from something. Well, Jack, okay, I don't see a big difference. Let me keep going with the definition of the word. To remove from something or to lift it up. To raise up or to suspend. Wow, really? So what's the meaning? Well, it all depends on who you read. If you read one scholar, he says, this is proof positive that a Christian can lose their salvation because they are fruitless branches. But that's not what it teaches. Then somebody will say, as for example, he's a warm-hearted guy. He doesn't match up to some of these great theologians, but God has sure put his hand on his ministry, and that's J. Vernon McGee. J. Vernon McGee says, based upon the Greek translation of this scripture here in the original language, it could mean that every branch that's not bearing fruit, he comes alongside as a vine dresser, picks it up from the earth, removes it from the earth where all the bugs and goop is at, right? Picks it up, washes it off, and suspends it, kind of getting it plugged back into the vine so that it can produce again. That is one valid interpretation. Sadly, you guys, you don't hear that very often. Automatically, you hear people say, oh, this could probably mean that you lose your salvation. Yet that's a huge assumption and nowhere else taught in Scripture. So what is being taught here? Well, Jack, what is it for you? I'm not going to tell you what it is for me. I just know that I'm not worrying about it. I know this. I'll answer it this way. I know this. Whenever I've been down, he's picked me up. Whenever I've been fruitless, he's always picked me up, taken care of me, and made me fruity again. Maybe nutty, too. Somebody told me recently at a conference, oh, you're from California, huh? The land of the fruit and nuts, huh? Well, I hope so. I hope so. As Christians, we should be very fruity people. And we live in California, so that makes us nutty, too. But the thing is this. Listen, there's times when I haven't been productive, but he's faithful to pick me up. Well, what if it means the other one? If it means the other one, I don't care. Because I am going to abide in Christ. Well, how do you know? Because he's faithful to keep me abiding in him. I don't have to do anything but do what he wants me to do. And that's a joy. God says, for example, come to church, fellowship, and worship, and learn in a corporate setting like this. In a holy, as the Old Testament put it, convocation. We call it today congregation. We are commanded to do this. Now listen, did somebody say, come on, let's go, get out of bed. You don't want to be here. You should have stayed home. But somebody was saying, come on, let's go, come on. Why? They want to be here. Why? Because being here doesn't get you any points. But being here, you have to do because you want to do. That's why you have to do it. You want to. It's the wanna that's in you. By the Holy Spirit. I gotta go to church today. No, you don't have to go. Stay home. But come and be blessed.
Grammarians have sometimes been known to criticize parts of the New Testament for using the phrase free gift because of its redundancy. And yet the translators of the New Testament felt they had no choice but to put it in those terms because of the way it was originally penned for emphasis. Who is a real Christian? That's the title of our study, and we'll have to get into it even more on our next edition of Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. Now, if you'd like to hear this study again, pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. You'll not only be able to hear this broadcast, but other studies which have aired in the past here on the program. And you can look into becoming a subscriber to our podcasts at no charge. Again, realradioactive.org. If you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, just dial 909-393-7100. Again, our phone number here at Real Radio, 909-393-7100. Remember, Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and continues communicating the gospel on the radio across the land because of your tax-deductible contributions. We invite you to prayerfully consider partnering with us. You can send in a one-time gift or you can become a regular contributor. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, if you weren't able to catch all of that contact information, just remember, you can easily locate it on our website, realradioactive.org. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine
amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.